week you saw that Pastor Nate spoke and did a great job. It was a great message. He talked about, yes, he did a great job. And we started a series called Divine Direction. And how many know that we could, in our lives, we could use some divine direction sometimes, right? Sometimes we're in a situation, we need to make a decision, we need God to lead us, and we need to guide us, we need some divine direction. And so Pastor Nate was talking about that, and today we're going to be continuing that series, but there's four things that he said last week that I just thought were worth reviewing. Number one, he said, decisions we make today determine the stories we tell tomorrow. Yes. What a great statement, right? He also said, we make our decisions and our decisions make us. Then he got into, and I love this, he said, we're so worried about what we're going to do, he said, we need to get the who right before the do. When we get us right as individuals, then the do will take care of itself. Then he talked about why before what. So you're always like, Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to do? You know, if we get the motivation right, if we get the why we're doing something right, we'll figure out the what. Because if your why is I want to change the world, I want to advance this gospel, then you'll find out what you're supposed to do. Because if it lines up with the why, then you know that it's what you're supposed to do. So those things are very important. So today we're going to get into part two of this series, and today we're going to talk about wisdom to discern. How many know that we could all use a little wisdom sometimes, right? Yes. You got decisions you got to make. You need God's guidance and his leadership. You say, you know what, God, I need your leadership. We'll talk about that. But before I get into this message, I want to take a quick survey and be honest. But how many of you, just think about your job and what you do today and where you're at. How many of you, if somebody came along in another city that you'd have to move away from, but it's a nice city, a city that you think you'd like living in, and somebody came along and said, you know what, tomorrow I'll give you a job for $12,000 more a year than you're making right now. How many say, sign me up? All right? Few hands. Let's up the ante a little bit. How about if somebody came along and said, all right, if you'll sign up today and it's a city that you like, if you take on this next job, if you quit your job and take this other job for $50,000 more a year, how many of you would say, sign me up? Good question. You're kind of getting ahead of me here. So, you know, it didn't go over so well in the first service. I'm not going to do it exactly the same in this service, but I followed that survey up in the first service by making the announcement that Kim and I were resigning our position here at the church.
Oh, no.
Because we're going to take a $50,000 a year increase. I can try to spiritualize it, but it's just because of the money. And what would the reaction be? What? No. Right? We'd say, what are you, if I were to say I'm accepting a position because of that, and I could try to spiritualize it. I could say, and we've probably seen people do this, well, you know, there's this, and they lay things out, but really the bottom line is, hey, they offer me more money, and I'm going, yeah. Right? But if I were to say that, some of you would probably say, you can't do that. You said God called you here. What about this church? Pastor, hadn't you better make sure that's God's will? Well, my question is today, why is it okay for you and not okay for me? See, will not lives be affected if I were to do it? How about the lives that were affected if you were to do it? What about the church? Is that a secondary thought? See, remember, we make our decisions and our decisions make us. How would that decision affect your family? We say, oh, it'd be much greater, there'd be more money. But how many know money isn't always the answer? Hadn't you better make sure that that decision is God's will? Because he knows and sees things that we don't. Last week, Pastor Nate talked about the difficulty we have as a society of making decisions in the day and time that we live. And part of it is because we have so many options, right? I mean, think about it. We live in a day and a time, used to it wasn't that way. We say, I'm hungry, and what's the discussion? Well, what are we going to eat? Because we've got this, all these options out there. You know, it could be Mexican, Italian, hamburgers. It could be cafeteria food. We have all these options and we can decide. And so many times when people talk what they're doing, they're sitting around, where are we going to go to eat? And there's all these discussions thrown around to somebody and we have trouble making decisions. There's entertainment options. There's travel options. And unfortunately, there's a lot of church options today. It's kind of interesting to me because we do live in a time where people don't take correction from a church very well, because if they get it, there's like, you know, hey, you hurt my feelings. There's another one just down the road. Bye. And we can go and we can find one. We don't have to change our lifestyle. We can go and find a church that will say whatever lifestyle we live is okay. That's the day and the time in which we live. And but today there's another issue that I really want to examine that can get in the way of good decision making and finding God's defined direction for our life, and that is the illusion of perfection. We live in a day and a time where there's this illusion of perfection that is out there. Now I realize we hear all the time today that every family's messed up and all that stuff. And sure, there's not a perfect family, just like there's not a perfect church. I heard somebody say one time, you know, if you ever find the perfect church, don't start attending there because then it won't be. But the truth is, we have this illusion because of everything we see and what's crammed our heads, this illusion of perfection. That there's this unapproachable, unobtainable perfection, and it's on display everywhere. Social media snapshots into the lives of people, and they make it look so perfect. But what we're doing is we're examining those perfectly captured moments in somebody's life, and we're comparing it to our everyday life. It's their famous highlight reel, and it's our everyday life, and the two don't compare because we don't have. Every day isn't one of those perfect moments. There she is again. She's picturing that selfie picture on there with the perfect body and the perfect pose, and my life's not like that, and so I must be ugly. Right? There he is again on that perfect relationship. So I saw it. They were both in the perfect pose and they were perfectly smiling, and my relationship's not like that. There they are on the perfect romantic date. The perfect family pose on the perfect vacation, and everybody's perfectly happy. And I just tried the perfect Pinterest idea and failed. And I'm perfectly miserable. Don't we do that? We see these things and we see these perfect family photos and we're trying, I can't get my kids to stand still for 5 minutes. We get all stressed out because there's this perception of perfection out there. Then pastor comes along and says something about the perfect will of God, and that's just too much. How can I find the perfect will of God when I can't even capture the perfect family post, picture to put on Facebook? Amen. You know, but relax. That's the great thing about divine direction. He leads and we follow. Amen. But does God have a perfect will for my life? Yes, he does. Does God have a will for where I go to college? Many times, yes, he does. Does he have the perfect will for who I should date and who I should marry? Yes, he does. Should we buy the house instead of renting it? He's got the answer to those questions. And if I do buy a house, which one? Should I take that job offer and move to the other city? Or not. So there's times in life that we need that direction. And the good news is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he can and he will lead you and he will give you direction, but it's not often as perfect as the burning bush or the angel that appears magically in the middle of your room, glowing in the middle of the night and says, from this moment on, you shall thus do A, B, C, and D. It's not always that way. But God does give us leadership, and he does give us guidance, and he does care for us. The text I want us to look at today is not your normal text that you would find for this kind of divine direction thing. It was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5 through 9. And I want us to read this. So this is Paul writing a letter to the church at Corinth. And he's talking about his plans, and he says this, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey. Wherever I go, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work is open to me, and there are many who oppose me. Now, I'll just see that here. Here's a man, here's Paul. If anybody's going to have a true understanding of what God wants, it's going to be Paul, right? And the Holy Spirit inspired him to write the majority of the New Testament. This is a guy that's got the connection. He's got the inside track. And he has encounters in his life with God in heavenly places. He's seen and done incredible things. He's seen God heal. He's seen God perform miracles. And he started churches all over the known world. He's done all these things. But yet we see from this passage that even this man of God didn't always have God's perfect will mapped out. That's the point I want to get to today. He said, well, I might go do this, and I might go do that, and if God's will, we will do this. And he's kind of in this place where he doesn't really have it all figured out. That ought to make you and I feel a little bit better. Because we may be walking in one of those moments that we don't have it all filled out and mapped out. You know, Nate talked last week about who before do and why before what, and we talked about those things. And in our chasing after God's divine direction and finding God's perfect will, we far too often default to the wrong questions. We say, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? And we ask those kind of questions, and he's really more concerned about who we are and our motivations and what's going on in our heart. And Nate did a great job of laying that out last week. But Paul here, he didn't have all the answers. But he also, the other thing I noticed from this is you don't get the sense that he was too stressed about it. It doesn't sound like he was going, well, I haven't got this figured out. I don't know what to do. And he wasn't having one of those kind of moments. I think he felt like he was confident. I think he had this confidence that God is going to lead me and things are going to work out because I'm trying my best to be the right who. And I'm trying to have the right motivation for everything I do. So because of that, all of this, even though it's not defined, it's going to work out. See, God doesn't always show us specifically what to do, but many times he will give us the wisdom to help us decide. How many know that even in the relationship with your own kids, there's a point in your life that you guide them and you lead them and you show them and you tell them everything to do, and then there's a point that you begin to back off a little bit and say, you know what? I've poured this stuff into you. I've trained you. I've helped you. So now I'm going to give you some advice, but you make the decision. Right? See, sometimes for us it's, God, what do you want me to do? And God just says, I'll give you the wisdom to help you decide. See, we need a wisdom to discern. Wisdom is one of the most important traits we can pursue in our spiritual life. In fact, it's what Solomon did in the Old Testament. Can you imagine Solomon's place in life? Here he is. His dad was king. Matter of fact, his dad wasn't just king. His dad was the greatest king the nation had ever known. And by most counts, ever would know. And here he is. He's about to take over this kingdom and step into replacing those shoes. I can only imagine how he must have felt as an individual. I've got to step into my dad's shoes. Everybody loves my dad. And Israel still feels like, several years ago, we got the opportunity to go on a trip to Israel. We're with this group and we're traveling. So we had to wear these name badges everywhere we went, you know, that had our names on it and walk around. We had to stay in groups and do all the stuff together. And we're going through and we're touring, we're seeing all these sites. And I was amazed that even here we are centuries removed, and I would walk by groups of people in the group with my name tag on and it says David. And I'd be walking along and locals would say, "Oh, look, David." That shows the kind of honor that name still holds. When you look at layouts of the city of Jerusalem, it's defined by where the walls are that David built around the edge of the city. And even though some of the ones may be hundreds upon hundreds of years old that are outside of the wall, that's still considered the newer part of Jerusalem, because what's inside the walls that David built is what's really considered Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? This guy that, so here's Solomon stepping into this role of replacing his father as king, and he realizes what's coming. And what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to offer this sacrifice, this bull before the Lord as a burnt offering, as a part of him taking on that role of taking the throne. But Solomon does something amazing. Solomon wanted to worship God with such extravagance that instead of making one sacrifice, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings before the Lord. That's a thousandfold increase. That's a sacrifice. And such this extravagant act of worship he must have done it with the right heart, because of it drew this incredible response from God. Right after that, in a dream, God comes to him and says, "Solomon, ask me what you want, and I will give it to you." So if he'd have done it with a wrong heart and a wrong attitude, I don't think God would have come to him and made that offer. So at that point in time, his heart was open and his heart was right. And he comes and you know, Solomon could have asked for all kinds of things. "God, make me the best general this nation has ever seen. I want to step out from underneath the shadow of my dad. I want to be the best leader this nation has ever seen. I want to be richer than anybody that's ever come before me in this nation." He could have asked for all these things. "I want to be loved and adored by the people." He could have asked for all those things. But what did he ask for? "Lord, give me the wisdom to be a good king and to lead these people rightly." What does it say? God comes along and says, "You know what? Because you asked for that, I'm going to answer your request, but I'm going to give you all the other stuff you could ask for too." See, there's something about when we get our hearts right. And that's what Solomon did, and he asked for that direction. And so Solomon is known as the wisest man that ever lived, because you read stories of all the things he did. We have the book of Proverbs. It was all these proverbs that he wrote down. We have these things. And in Proverbs 4:7, he says this. He says, "Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding." You know, the New Living Translation is, while I prefer some of the others, because I think sometimes there's things it misses, but there's sometimes that it just nails this passage on the head. In the case of Proverbs 4:7, it says, "Get wisdom. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment." That's pretty straightforward, right? That's pretty clean cut. Be wise and use good judgment. Wow, that's a good case for divine direction right there, right? See, we all eventually reach the point in age that every one of us have done this. Probably every person in this room, at some point you say, "You know what? I wish I had known back then what I know now." Come on, raise your hands if you said that. Right? What are we saying? We're saying, "You know what? There's times I made a decision, but I'm much wiser now. I'd really like a do-over on this decision back here, because I'm a little further down the road, a little wiser, and I'd make a little better decision. Because I've grown in wisdom." See, wisdom is more valuable than gold, Solomon said. And the truth is, God's not going to always tell us exactly what to do. Sometimes he wants us to rely on the wisdom and the understanding that we have to make a decision. This morning, I want to give you three real simple thoughts. This is going to be the most profound message you've ever heard in your life. But three simple things that I think will help us as we make decisions in life to find God's divine direction and use gain in wisdom and discernment. Number one, real simple, walk with the wise. See, it's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. That's just flat out common sense. It's straight up, it's so simple. Proverbs 13:20 in the New Translation, once again, it nails this one. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. I mean, that's just good advice. Walk with the wise. Hang out with people that are headed in the right direction. See, let me give you an example. We see it all the time on like the funniest video shows or YouTube online or everything. Anytime you have a group of people standing there and there's alcohol involved and somebody says, hey, hold my beer and watch this. Something's about to go horribly wrong. Because they're not hanging out in the best and wisest situation. And we see it all the time. And the whole idea is that it happens in people. We see people who come along and they pray and Jesus comes in their life and he does a work and he sets them free. But they struggle to really live this thing out. And they finally give up because what do? They go back and they hang around the same old crowd again. And they get pulled back in their old lifestyle. And they fail. Well, not exactly. I do believe that this is a little bit of what Jesus had in mind in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 18, when he was talking about the parable of the sower. He says, there's still others like the seed, like seeds sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. See, if we walk with the wise, we can grow in that. But if we allow ourselves to continue to hang around the things that aren't good and aren't right, eventually it can choke out the things that God has for us. This quote in original to me, and I don't know who did it, but I put it down because this is so right. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. In other words, do life with those that are headed in divine direction if you want divine direction in your life. It's so important. See, we get so caught up, and I know it's so difficult for our youth and our younger people today because they're so inundated with all this stuff and they're pulled in so many different directions and there's all this influence to do things that are outside of what the Word of God says. And when there's this pressure to fit in and to be a part of that thing and to walk in those things. But can I give you some advice? Your time in school is such a small portion of your life. Don't make life-altering decisions based on that small portion of your life. Look beyond that. Live for your future. You won't regret it. Hang around people that are wise. But it's so hard to hear God's direction, we say sometimes. Well, the truth is, who are you walking with? See, if you're surrounding yourself with all the negative voices, yeah, it's hard to hear God's voice. But walk with the wise. That's part of the reason, you know, we assemble together as a church. I hear people all the time, well, I want to serve God, but you don't have to be a part of a church to serve God. And there's some truth in that, but I don't know about you. I need that interaction. I need that time connecting with other people. I need that walking with other people that are headed in the same direction to give that encouragement and to help along the way. Yes, I've got a connection to Him, but if I got that connection with Him and I've got the connection with other people that are headed in the same direction, it helps us walk this thing out called life. There is something, there's a power in walking with the wise. And there's a reason that we have multiple services and things going on throughout the week. Not because I'm looking for something else to put on my calendar. I'm not. But I understand that there's a power in us getting together and supporting one another and praying for one another and encouraging one another and walking this thing out together. I heard a statistic just the other day that it's true, but it's sad at the same time. We've now reached the point in our society where people that attend church one time a month consider themselves regular church attenders. Wow. That's not exactly walking with the wise. See, there's something about it. Our vision statement, you can go to our church website right now. You can click on the little tab that says vision, and it will say at the very top, it will say this. Our vision statement says, we aspire to be a real church made up of real people living real life together. Our desire is to be a people who represent Christ with truly authentic lives that are the same every day of the week in every place that life takes us. See, there's something about when we do this thing together. We're not here to all pretend that we've all got it together, that we're all perfect. We're here to say, you know what? We're striving to do better in this thing just like you are. What if we all do this together? You want divine direction in your lives, you want to be spiritually strong, then walk with and let those that have earned that wisdom, let their wisdom rub off on you. Want divine direction on being a great parent, then get connected with other godly parents who've done a good job of training up their kids. You guys are quiet. Want divine direction concerning your finances, then follow the example of those that lived a blessed life in that area. I'll give you a hint. Usually you'll find that they're pretty good tithers too. It's just kind of, you know, I don't think it's just by accident that it works out that way. Just saying. See, if you do all these things, and I've done all these things that I'm laying out that I'm talking about today, and I promise you it will bear fruit in your life. Walk with the wise. If you want, let me make it real simple for you. You want God's direction? Hang out with God's people. Number two, ask for wisdom. Here's the great part. This is the one prayer that God will always answer. Every time you ask God for wisdom, He says yes. You say, what? Can you prove that? Absolutely, I can. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Yeah. Ask for it. He's not just sitting on the sidelines holding back from you. See, it gives us this amazing promise. If you lack wisdom, do what? Ask for it. Yeah, it's amazing how many life-altering decisions we make without asking those questions. How many of you here have children? I do. Mine are basically grown, but I've got them. You know what the interesting thing about kids is? When they're little bitty, as a parent, you're the greatest hero and the wisest person that ever lived. Right about 12, you become one of the dumbest people on the planet. Then they grow past that and get a little older, and somehow or other they come back around and think, you know what, Mom and Dad's pretty smart. And that's just the way that it works. And I love the relationship that I have with my boys now that they're young men. But in all honesty, I truly enjoyed every phase of their life, just some a little better than others. Now they're both men, it's amazing the relationship. It's really more like friends. Even though there's that father-son thing, it's a great relationship. And Derek just got married, and so now I have a daughter. Brand new territory. At least she's already grown. So apparently hopefully she's back to where she's thinking that I'm fairly smart. So But Kim and I are determined not to be intrusive parents or parent-in-laws. Yes, we're older and wiser, but they need to find their way. They need to find what works for their family. They need to find their own relationship with Christ and do things their way. And so it's not my place to step in and to intervene. And many times, you know, in all honesty, many times when I counsel with marriages that are having trouble, sometimes it comes up that a big part of the problem is an intrusive in-law that doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't like that relationship, doesn't like the way that family does things, and they try everything they can to drive a wedge and to do things. And there's been many times in marital counseling I've had to back up and tell somebody, say, you know what part of your problem is? You need to distance yourself from those parents because that's not healthy. So I'm determined not to be that intrusive parent into their relationship. But however, at a moment's notice, all they have to do is ask for my wisdom, and it's there. And that's the whole point I'm making here. Is when God says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. It's really that relationship. You see, his whole goal is to mature us and to grow us up and to make us into what he wants us to be and to get us that place where we're capable of making some of these decisions based on godly wisdom and the fact that we've grown up and done things. And so as a parent in this relationship, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on the sideline. But at a moment's notice, they say, hey, we really don't know what to do. Do you have any wisdom? Absolutely, here it is. And I'll probably give them more than they want. But I really believe that's a lot the way God looks at us. I believe that he's not wanting us to struggle. And if we're in a situation where we need guidance and we need his leadership, all we have to do is ask, and I guarantee he's like, I am so glad you asked because I'll be here. I'll give you all the wisdom you need. So we ask God. He loves to share his wisdom with his children. Here's the deal, though. We have to spend time with him before we can ask him. We can get it. The cool thing is we can get it every single day from his word. We can ask him every single day in prayer. In fact, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is what? The Counselor. Who can reside in us and be there every moment of every day. He is the Good Shepherd who guides his sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and follow me. So we can't say that there is not guidance and wisdom and those things available for us in life. See, God may always tell us exactly what to do. We may not get the burning bush or the shining angel, but he will give us the wisdom we need to make the right decision. Your Heavenly Father will lead you and guide you and advise you and watch over you. And if you walk with the wise and ask for wisdom, he'll help. But then the last thing I want to talk about today when it comes to divine direction is decide. Divine direction starts when we decide that wisdom and discernment are a priority in our life. How many know that we can let our comfort or the things that we think we want override wisdom and discernment in our lives? We can get those priorities out of place. You know, I know today by movie standards, this is not the greatest movie. But it's got some incredible words of wisdom in it. How many remember the original Karate Kid movie? Right? I know there's a remake. I like the original. Partially because of this quote right here. And yes, I'm going to try to do it in the voice, so if it offends you, I'm sorry. It's just I can't do it any other way. But Master Miyagi says to Daniel-san, he makes this statement, and this fits right in with what I'm talking about today. He says, Daniel-san, must talk. Walk on the road. Walk on the right side, safe. Walk on the left side, safe. walk in the middle, sooner or later get squashed just like a grape. You see, we the biggest mistake we make sometimes is not choosing. Sometimes we just got to go with the wisdom that God's given us, make a decision and move forward. Because when we try to walk down the middle, not good. Matter of fact, Jonathan played bass. He left, they were in the early service, and so they're here for both services. Sometimes they cut out, that's why he's not here. But he was talking about it. He goes, you see lots of indecisive squirrels in the middle of the road. Right? Joshua 24:15 says this. Famous statement, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, sometimes we just have to stand up and we just have to decide. See, there are things that God's word says we must always do. There's things that God's word tells us that we should never do. But there's also times that we are trying to get direction and we're trying to decide between some things that are potentially good things and we just don't know what to do. In those moments, we need God to give us the wisdom to decide. See, the truth is God could have programmed us to be perfect. But we'd just be robots then, wouldn't we? You know, we've got a dog. Love her to pieces, but she's not always perfect. She's pretty close, but she's not always perfect. Now, it'd be much tidier for me to go buy the little programmable robot dogs that you can buy that just walk and do everything they're supposed to do, but it's not going to be the same as when Macy comes up and is just so thrilled to see us and love us, even with her flaws. See, God didn't create us to be these perfect robots that do everything exactly right. He created us with a free will. He created us with the ability to make some decisions and some choices in our life and to walk through life. And sometimes we make great choices. Sometimes we make not so great choices. We should strive to always make the right choices, but sometimes we don't. But the great news is we still have a chance to love Him. We still have a chance to get back on track. And He loved you and I enough to give us freedom to make choices. And we have the freedom to choose Him or not to choose Him. We have the freedom to choose His leadership and His guidance or to try to go on our own way. I don't recommend it because it's going to blow up in your face. The world is full of people that happens. But I want us to look, as I bring it to a close this morning, at our text and close with a couple of thoughts on that. Looking back at what Paul said again. He said, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you. For I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey. Wherever I go, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. See, as we talked about, Paul here doesn't seem to have the clearest direction. But there are some great things that I think we can take note of this passage. Number one, Paul leaves his options open here in case the Holy Spirit leads him in a specific direction. He doesn't seem stressed. He doesn't seem worried. This might happen. That might happen. It's all kind of fluid at this point. But I'm open if the Holy Spirit leads. Secondly, we see that he makes a very wise decision to stay on in Ephesus. But the thing that I noticed about that I thought was pretty interesting, if you notice it, it wasn't the comfortable decision. I know so many times we make our decisions based on our comfort. And that's not always the best decision. But it was the wise one, because what does it say? He says that there was opposition to him in that town. So he made the wise decision. You know what? The comfortable thing was, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else and hang out for a while with some people that love me. But he made the wise decision. He said, you know what? I'm going to stay because there's an opportunity that's been opened up to me, and I'm going to face this opposition head on, face to face, and I'm going to take it on. Might not have been the most comfortable decision, but it was the wise decision. And I'm telling you right now as a pastor, there are times that I know for sure that God is directing me. I've told the board and even our staff on multiple occasions, but I want you to know, if I stand up and I say, thus says the Lord, that's because I'm convinced that is God's voice. But the other problem I'm going to make is I'm not going to ever stand up and use the God card to get my own way, but I'm not convinced that it was him speaking. So I'll be honest, there's times, there are decisions that come along. There's things that I've done, decisions that I've made. I mean, I know for a fact that coming here and being and taking on this building and many decisions were made, I know for a fact it was God saying, this is what we're going to do. And I was, yes, sir, let's go do it. But there's times that come along, even in the ministry, even when lives hang in the balance, that I may pray. And I may not have exact word-for-word divine direction from God concerning that circumstance. That's when I have to go back. I have to say, what does God's word say? What has he said to me in the past? What is the why behind the decision I need to make? What is the who behind that decision that needs to be made? And then based on those things, sometimes I just have to make the wisest decision that I know how to make and move forward and trust God. He's going to make it come out all right. You know what the good news is? He does. He does. So I ask you at the beginning if you'd move to another town for money, and I'll be honest with you, you guys did pretty good. I figured there'd be more yeses. You know, give me $50,000, I'm out of here. You know, not everybody raised your hand. Good for you. See, one, we talked about wisdom to discern, and sometimes God absolutely wants to bless us financially, but we better seek God's divine direction and make sure that we're using the gift of discernment. And what do we mean by discernment? Because it's not a word that we use very often, but discernment can mean literally seeing through the root spiritual motivation of an action. What's the motive behind it? And we ask for this gift of discernment, but sometimes, listen, this is so important as I bring this to a close. Sometimes we have to use the gift of discernment on ourselves. Sometimes we have to stop and say, Lord, show me why I'm leaning towards this decision. What is my true motivation? So we know sometimes we can spiritualize things. We can kind of lie to ourselves about why we make decisions. Isn't that true? Sometimes we have to say, why am I leaning this way in the decision? What is my true motivation? And be honest. Make sure we're making it for the right reasons. Why am I leading that way? What if I were to take that job and move? And there's not a good church there. My financial situation may improve, but my kids are really plugged in here and they're doing well spiritually. And do I really want to uproot them and take that chance without having a clear word from God? So how do we get to God's perfect will? We serve him as perfectly as we can each and every moment. We check our true motivation. We make sure we get the why before the what. We listen for that still small voice Because God will speak to your heart. And that still small voice will just speak. We walk with the wise. And we pray and ask for wisdom. That's how we get the wisdom to discern and we make the decisions in our lives. No decision we make in our life, no major decision should be made without doing everything we can to discern what God's will truly is. Because we get in the most trouble. How many know it's true? We get in the most trouble when we just make a rash decision on our own. We don't take into account what the Holy Spirit would say. What do we say? Decisions we make today determine the stories we tell tomorrow. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. I want to pray. Lord, help us. Help us be who you want us to be, so that we'll do what you call us to do for the right reasons. Lord, thank you that you are the good shepherd that guides your sheep. And Lord, I pray that wherever you guide me, wherever you guide us, Lord, that we will follow you step by step. So Lord, I ask you in this moment that you will help us, that you will give us direction. And I know that there are many, Lord, here today who perhaps are facing big decisions. Lord God, I pray that your word is clear and that each and every one of us will obey and that they will obey. But God, so often we know that you give us the wisdom to decide. Lord, that wisdom empowered by your Spirit. Lord, give us the courage to decide and the faith to trust you once we do. That you've got us in the palm of your hand, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to the front. There may be some of you here today. I just wouldn't feel right about laying a message out on such a subject. And there may be some of you here today that you say, you know what, I'm facing a big decision in my life. There's some things that are up in the air and I need divine direction. And hopefully today, I've given you some practical steps to help you in that process. But I also know that sometimes we just need somebody to agree with us in prayer. So if that's you and you're facing some decisions in your life today, we're going to give you an opportunity right now just to step out, meet us down front. We'd love to pray with you. And just join with you. And if you're here, maybe you're here and maybe that's not, maybe this message hasn't really been the thing for you, but you just walked in to say, you know, I just really need a touch from God in some other area of my life. I want you to know that these people are here to pray with you. So if that's you, as they play, just step out and give us a chance to pray with you. So we believe in the power of prayer. Thank you, Lord.